Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. On today's program, the Canadian Cattle Association expects a few things from tomorrow's federal budget. The Yorkton Exhibition Association hosted its first annual Agriculture Night on Friday, and we'll have some highlights from the SaskAgToday.com roundtable with Chief Agricultural Editor Kevin Hirsch. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. First on Sask Ag Today is my conversation with CCA President Nathan Finney on what he expects from tomorrow's federal budget.
This is Sask Ag Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. And Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. The federal budget will be released tomorrow, and the Canadian Cattle Association will be one of many farm groups to watch for what it has in store for the agriculture sector. President of the CCA, Nathan Finney, says there are three key items they're seeking in the budget.
We did push hard trying to keep the current interest-free portion of the APP at $350,000. That's a process every year we need to try to fix and keep it from $100,000. We didn't get the 350, but we were awfully glad to see that we got at the 250 range. That was, I guess, announced before the budget has been released. Then the livestock tax deferral is the second piece that we've asked and pushed hard for. We want to make sure that producers of all classes of cattle included self-declaration, because as we know very well that Mother Nature doesn't really care about jurisdictions or municipal lines or boundary lines. So giving the producers this tool to be able to, early in a season of drought or inclement weather, be able to make those decisions instead of waiting for, you know, governments to say whether that area is going to be designated or not. And then third, I guess, you know, we continue to work on our grassland conservation initiative, and we've had an ask in the pre-budget submission to the government for over 5 years to try to help facilitate and get this program up and going.
Just a couple of follow-up questions there, Nathan, one of which just wanted to discuss a little bit about business risk management programs and the suite of them. I know that's a key thing I know that farm groups will be looking for, just in terms of like being more responsive, you know, to times of drought and such. So just kind of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, we're ever-changing and working on these. I know Alberta's been doing a lot of work on some changes to agri-stability. You know, and then we're looking at, you know, different risk management tools. Problem being, you know, some of the existing tools are okay with a one event, you know, every 5-10 years, but they're not designed to deal with year over year over year, which we've experienced, or the producers in the western part of the country really have experienced with continuing drought year after year. You know, trying to enhance forage insurance initiatives to try to make that better, and being able to utilize that so that the program actually is what producers need. So we're always working and changing, and, you know, one thing that is a constant, to get change does take time. And, you know, what worked maybe 10 years ago isn't what works for today's needs, especially with some climate change issues. So that's kind of where we're at on some of the business risk management.
and you mentioned it a couple times with regards to climate change and the Grasslands Initiative. Just wanted to get your thoughts on maybe some other things the Canadian Cattle Association is hoping is included in the federal budget, because I know, you know, climate change for the federal government especially is a big priority.
Yeah, and I think where we're looking at this in our lens on climate change is droughts and climate weather across the country, whether it be too much rain, not enough moisture, you know, fires. There's a lot of different things that impact producers, you know, and Mother Nature and climate's always been and has continued to be one of our biggest challenges, if not the biggest challenge. And, you know, trying to get programs designed around that and think outside of what typically we've always done to meet the needs. And so that's where we're at. You know, the Grassland Conservation Initiative, cattle are part of the solution of fixing the climate change issue. And we've worked diligently on proving that they're a necessity on the landscape to try to keep grasslands in the grasslands. So that, I guess, in itself is why we're, you know, really working on the Grassland Conservation Initiative. It helps sequester carbon. It helps on the biodiversity front. You know, it checks all the boxes what we're trying to do.
Anything else you wanted to add?
No, we're anticipating, hopefully, for our industry a solid budget, and, you know, we're anxiously waiting to see what's going to roll out tomorrow.
That's Nathan Finney, president of the Canadian Cattle Association. Coming up next on Sask Ag Today, we'll have some highlights from the SaskAgToday.com roundtable from this past Friday. Talked about a number of different things, from the avian flu outbreak in U.S. dairy cows to a little bit of the canola prices and other commodity prices with Kevin Hirsch, the chief agricultural editor. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Municipal Hail Insurance. Farmers insuring farmers. See municipalhail.ca. The avian flu outbreak in U.S. dairy cows continues to make headlines in agriculture circles. That was the first topic of discussion on Friday's SaskAgToday.com roundtable with Chief Agricultural Editor Kevin Hirsch.
It's disconcerting. I think there's a whole lot more questions than there are answers. You know, the dairy industry is one thing, so it's crossed over into dairy cattle. As I understand it, there's no confirmed cases in beef cattle, which puzzles me. You would think that beef cattle and how they're raised would make them more susceptible to interaction with migratory waterfowl than cattle in dairy enclosures. So I don't quite understand that. And maybe it's just because the symptoms are not so serious that if you're not monitoring exact milk flow, maybe you don't see it. So it's still tough to know how this is going to play out. It appears that from everything that I've seen that it's fairly mild in dairy cattle and goes away. So shouldn't result in a huge cull of dairy cattle that would flood the beef market. But I still think it's something that really bears watching, that if we get some a surprising new development, it could still be a worrisome situation. So it really bears watching.
On another topic, he's concerned about the dry conditions on the west side of Saskatchewan.
It, you know, surface moisture is going to be decent for a little while, but that can change rapidly too. I really think that everybody's watching weather forecasts, and some indication that a pretty wide swath of Saskatchewan may see some significant snow and or rain by the middle of next week, and depending which forecast you look at, but the quantitative precipitation forecast looks fairly promising, which would be, I don't think anybody would turn down moisture in most areas, although you guys in Yorkton and north from there, you guys have been hoarding all the moisture, so maybe with some of the runoff problems you say there's down in that area, maybe they don't want any more right now, but a lot of folks would love to see a good rain, and then seeding would get going in real earnest not long after that. There are a few scattered reports of people posting pictures of themselves on X, formerly Twitter, Rose Towns, some places in southwest Saskatchewan, southern Alberta, where there has been a little bit of seeding actually started, but people would love to see a rain and then get at seeding in real earnest.
Hirsch was concerned about the losses the canola market took on Thursday after the USDA released its latest World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report.
Yeah, we saw, you know, canola really struggled that one day. The losses were pretty steep. We had been making some progress, and it bounced back a little bit at the end of the week. But, you know, as supply looks to increase anywhere in the world, it just makes the outlook more bearish for prices. The other thing about canola is our export pace on canola has been very slow. There's some estimates suggest that we're going to have 2 million tons of carryover at the end of the crop year. The crushers have been taking their fair share, but that huge increase in crush capacity that's forecast is not online yet, so they can only do so much. And exports have been slow, and mainly because producers with dropping prices have not been eager sellers. It's not that it couldn't have been moved, but it wasn't able to be moved at the prices that producers were hoping for.
Kevin Hirsch is the chief agricultural editor for SaskAgToday.com. Coming up next, we'll have AgriView with Doug Falconer, followed by Farm Precision Weather with Phil Spivak. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's AgriView with Doug Falconer of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and MyGrain Exchange, ready to market your 2023 crop. Head over to MyGrainExchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
New research led by the University of Alberta aims to enhance the yield and profitability of canola. By delving into the genetic makeup of broccoli and cabbage, scientists hope to broaden the genetic diversity of canola, thereby improving its resilience and productivity. Led by plant scientist Habibor Rahman, the research team is focusing on identifying key genes from a variety of Brassica oleracea species, including broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, and kale. These genes will be instrumental in breeding new lines of canola that can produce hybrid cultivars with higher seed yield, a crucial factor in the profitability of the crop. Canola is a cornerstone of the Canadian economy, contributing approximately $29.9 billion annually and serving as a significant global export with revenues totaling $14.4 billion each year. Western Canadian spring wheat bids were steady to higher during the week ended April 11th, while durum prices fell below the $400 Canadian per metric ton mark entirely. Canada exported 505,700 metric tons of wheat during the week ended April 7th, compared to 396,100 the previous week, according to the Canadian Grain Commission. So far this marketing year, total exports were 14.769 million metric tons, exceeding the figure from 1 year ago at 13.926 million. Sales of new four-wheel drive tractors in Canada are up 10.8% over last year. That's according to the Association of Equipment Manufacturers monthly sales data for January through March. It's the lone category that has seen year-to-date growth in both the Canadian and American markets, as sales of two-wheel drive tractors of all sizes and combines are down in both countries. March sales of 100-plus horsepower two-wheel drive tractors were higher than the same month last year, but year-to-date sales in Canada are still down 16.3%, while U.S. sales are down 4.2%. Combine sales in Canada are down 5.2%, while U.S. combine sales are down 20.4%. Four-wheel drive sales in the U.S. are also down 7.9%. A bird flu outbreak in United States dairy cows has grown to affect more than two dozen herds in eight states, just weeks after the nation's largest egg producer found the virus in its chickens. Health officials stress that the risk to the public is low and that the U.S. food supply remains safe and stable. Federal health and animal agencies say the virus, known as type A H5N1, has been detected in a range of mammals over the last few years, but this is the first time it has been found in cattle. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Falk.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit MooseJawTruckShop.com.
I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, from what I understand, it's going to be quite windy for this week, and we got a pretty good chance of some, I guess we could call flurries later on in the week.
Yeah, it's not going to be much, you know, significant snow. We're talking the end of April. Certainly it can snow, and we could see some slushy accumulation, but we're not looking at a major snowfall from this. So we are going to see some flurries. Temperatures will get cold enough that stuff will still be falling, and it'll not be warm enough for rain, so we'll put it that way. It's windy, though, on both sides of this storm system. Today we've seen the winds pick up. It looked like they were going to be strong, but they have overperformed even the strong anticipated, upwards of 75, near 80 kilometers per hour this afternoon. The main storm system is still actually developing, and that's part of the problem, is it's developing very rapidly over the central part of the U.S. That's the main storm system. Then a secondary low is cutting out of Alberta, cutting into southwestern parts of Saskatchewan, pulling a trough in, and the wind is just tightening around that whole field. That's what's getting us into that wind this afternoon. It'll bring a few spotty showers by tonight and especially into tomorrow. 19 this afternoon, down to 6 tonight, tomorrow 15. Not as windy tomorrow that northern storm passes by. But as it does, once it does, the wind turns around into the northwest and gets right back up into that 70 kilometer per hour range. And that really pulls in some cold air. 2 degrees tomorrow night, may rise a degree or two on Wednesday, but more likely falling through the day. Rain showers will change over to snow. And again, we're not looking at anything heavy, neither rain nor snow, but likely it will all be snow by Wednesday night. Temperatures well below freezing, a rather significant freeze for that night. Could be a little bit slick, especially after some rain and the quick freeze. Thursday, breezy, flurries around -1, maybe a little light snow lingering Friday, but clearing and clear into the weekend, -1 Friday. Temperatures do quickly get back above freezing, but it is going to be running at least a little bit cool to start the weekend before we get back to normal to close it out.
Thank you very much, Phil. The normal highs for this time of year, 12 degrees, the lows -2. Sun rose in Regina at 6:03 this morning, and the sun will set at 7:55 tonight. Taking a look around the province, in Assiniboia and Swift Current 17, Moosomin, Estevan, Saskatoon 15, Yorkton and Melville are at 12, and Weyburn is at 16. The warm spot in the province is in Maple Creek at 20.4 degrees, cold spot in Uranium City at 6.9. In Regina, it's mostly cloudy, southeast wind at 52 to 74 kilometers an hour, humidity at 26%. The temperature's at 17 degrees or 63 Fahrenheit, and the barometric pressure is at 101.0 and falling. In Moose Jaw, it's partly cloudy, southeast wind at 39 to 52 kilometers an hour, temperature 18 degrees. Once again in Regina, mostly cloudy, southeast wind at 52 to 74 kilometers an hour, temperature 17 degrees. Back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience, McDougallAuction.com, and Patterson Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Patterson Liquid Systems, expect the best. The Yorkton Exhibition Association hosted its first annual Agriculture Night on Friday night. Area producers who attended were treated to a steak supper, a live auction, a silent auction, and a cabaret. It was held in conjunction with the annual Spring Expo, which wrapped up on Saturday. Lori Walsh is the past president of the Yorkton Exhibition Association.
Well, this is something that we've wanted to do for a while. Agriculture is such a prominent industry, and we just wanted to celebrate agriculture locally. So it was a night that we could get people out before they start, you know, scratching the dirt, and just a night for people to get together to celebrate. And we've had some great sponsors, and it's great to see such a full house tonight.
Any idea how many people you put through?
We've put through just over 250 people for supper, and so I think it'll be a good night. There's probably some more to show up a bit later on to kick up their heels.
And when it comes to this time of year, you were kind of a little worried about perhaps there might be a few too many other things going on, but you must be pretty happy with how things have gone so far.
Yeah, we're really happy so far. There's a lot happening, this month, and I know that people's time is precious, so we're just really happy that, you know, people came out, and I think it's going to be, this is the start of something that will probably continue and will continue to grow going forward.
I see some people from a lot of the surrounding area as well. I'm sure you've probably noticed it's not just Yorkton people here tonight.
Yeah, not at all. There's people from all over, which is really great. And that's one of the reasons, so much of what we do is about bringing people together. And tonight is exactly about that.
And working it in with the Spring Expo was part of the plan as well?
Yeah, it was a new addition that we thought kind of fit well with Spring Expo. And Spring Expo, we've got the exotic sale tomorrow. So yeah, it's just been a good weekend.
That's Lori Walsh, the past president of the Yorkton Exhibition Association. We'll take another break here, but Sask Ag Today will return. Again, you're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumber yard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. For decades now, beekeepers in Alberta and across North America have been dealing with something called the varroa mite. The parasite is a major contributor to annual losses of 30 to 40% of bee colonies in Canada. Dr. Olav Ruppel with the Department of Biological Sciences at the University of Alberta is working with a number of groups to find new ways to control this pest.
Varroa is the full name called Varroa destructor, because they're quite destructive to the bee industry. And they are a mite that parasitizes honeybees. And they parasitize different life stages, so the young and the adult honeybees. And they sort of feed on them, depleting their internal nutrient resources, but also vectoring diseases such as many viruses, like mosquitoes vector viruses from humans to humans or from birds to humans. And the varroa mites do the same for bees from one bee to another. In this country, they haven't been around for very long, several decades. So it's not a brand new problem. But they have evolved millions of years ago in Asia and on a different bee species there. And then once humans brought our Western honeybee into these areas, the mite jumped hosts. So it transferred from this Asian honeybee to the Western honeybee that we all keep all over the world. And because of our modern beekeeping practices, we transported it basically with the bees all across the planet. And it has now conquered every place on Earth except for where we keep bees, except for Newfoundland and Labrador, which is one of the very few places in the world that is still varroa-free.
Now, tell me about some of your research. I know you're working with a number of groups and trying to find ways to control varroa mite. Tell me about some of the research and maybe some of your findings thus far.
Yeah, we do a lot of different kinds of research on varroa and their interactions with honeybees. Some of it is what you might say curiosity driven, just we'd like to do cool science. And then some is applied science, where we really try to address a practical problem and try to control the mites and find new control methods. And often these two intersect. And, you know, this recent study that we just published was one where we could show the feeding habits of the Varroa mites were not what they were believed to be. And that is sort of at the intersection because on the one hand, it shows us fundamentally new kind of insights into this important parasite. But at the same time, it also gives us new avenues for the future to develop sort of what I call the 2.0, the next generation Varroa sites.
That's Dr. Olav Rupel at the U of A, who's part of a group working on studying Varroa mites and ways to better control them. Coming up next on the program, we'll have the market updates. We'll have a look at how Viterra grain prices are doing right after the break.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Grain prices at Viterra were down in early trading today. Canola is down $9.60 to $592.52, and number one red spring wheat is down $2.84 to $303 a metric ton. The rest were unchanged. Durum $387.37, feed barley $232.58, chickpeas $992.08, flax $629.54, oats $255.32, lentils $755.50, yellow peas $474.72, and feed wheat $233.45. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is down 4.25 cents to $6.38.5 a bushel. Coming up next is the Livestock Report.
The SaskAg Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
Heartland Livestock Market Report. It's Brett Jensen reporting from the Swift Current Yards. Last week in all our sales, good cows. They traded from 160 to 185. Medium cows were $1.25 to 160. The feeding type cows traded from 180 to 190. Heiferettes at $2 to 235. And the good bulls are trading from 170 to 197. In our bread sale last Thursday there, the cows straight through traded on an average straight through traded from 39.35 with sales up to 43.50. Upcoming sales this Thursday, April the 18th, we're going to have about 1,500 head of good feeder cattle on offer. Let's take advantage of these high cattle prices and get them booked into the sale ring at 773-3174. Canada's source for quality, Heartland Livestock and Swift Current.
Now a look at the latest pork prices. They're up $2.19 to $220.16 per CKG. Coming up next on Sask Ag Today is the Resource Report.
It's the Sask Ag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
Saskatchewan and France have agreed to extend their long working relationship when it comes to energy and mining. A letter of intent was signed today to explore, develop, and cooperate on new projects related to mining critical minerals. Critical minerals include uranium, potash, rare earth elements, helium, lithium, and copper, and Saskatchewan has 23 of them. Provincial Trade and Export Minister Jeremy Harrison says the province and France have shared goals of lowering greenhouse gas emissions and to make the mining sector more reliable, and this LOI will expand on that. In 2023, Saskatchewan's exports to France was nearly $220.1 million, a 68% increase from 2022. For many people, tax season isn't only about gathering T4 forms or calling an accountant. It can also bring intense feelings of stress or anxiety about dealing with finances. Financial stress during tax season can manifest in different ways, whether that's procrastinating on your tax return until the last minute or experiencing intense stress about filing incorrectly. If your nerves are frazzled, experts recommend that you make a plan to tackle your return step by step and ask for support from family, friends, or a tax professional. Turning over to the markets, the TSX is down 76 points at 21,823. The Dow is up 15 points to 37,998. Oil is down 94 cents at $84.72 per barrel, and the Canadian dollar is at 72.70 cents U.S. And that's the resource report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. You can find the podcast at SaskAgToday.com and at 620CKRM.com. And that's going to do her for Monday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.